Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the SB Nation NFL Show. I am your host, Rob Stats Guerrero from Niners Nation. With me, as always, for the look ahead, RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. RJ, what's up?
Stats, it's great to see your bright, shining, beautiful, perfectly symmetrical face. I have to tell you, there's something that I have to do today that I really hate. Talking to you is not it, so that's a good thing.
Good save. I was a little worried.
Well, you know, you didn't ask what it was that I have to do that I hate. So, you know, my feelings are hurt.
All right, RJ. What is it?
I have to go get my hair cut today. Now, I, you know, don't hate the haircut profession. You know what I mean? It's, we all need it. You know what I mean? Good for people who do that. But I hate the process of getting my hair cut. It's like, it's literally like wasting time. I have to sit there and just age and do nothing. You know, and you tell me if you've ever experienced this, Stats. They swivel you around, right? And like theoretically, yep, the purpose behind that is like to be able to, you know, get your sideburns or whatever the case may be. Quite often, and maybe this is just my luck and luck of the draw, the stylist or whoever, the barber, spins me to where I cannot see myself in the mirror. So yep. Why are you know, like, what's the whole purpose? Like, are you trying to hide this from me? You're trying to sneak one over? Like, so I really hate the process of getting my hair cut, and I have to go do that today.
I like a good haircut, but you're right on the process. It's not good. I am not a talker during the haircut. Like, I'm not here to bond. I'm not here to be friends. You do what you got to do, and I'll get the hell out of here and get back to my real life. Like, I don't want to have a conversation.
And to me, like, since I'm trapped, right? Like, I just have to last through the haircut, right? I like to think through things, right? Like, I'm trying to organize some thoughts in my head. It's so rare that anybody just has time in a day to sit and think. And that's what getting a haircut affords me. So you're right. When you're talking to me, you're trying to make small talk, you're intruding on my time, my mental time that I'm working through things. And so, you know, just those are my thoughts on the old haircut. But, you know, hey.
Exactly. We both have jobs to do. We're not going to be best buds. Like, let's just get this over with. I'll give you a nice tip and we'll get back to my real life. Like Ron Swanson said, he was the best friend I never had, and we still don't talk sometimes. That's how it
did
should
you,
be.
Did you ever get a home haircut during the early days of the pandemic? Did you ever experience that?
I tried, but I have really thick hair and it clogged up the clippers that we had. So I couldn't do it. But when I was a kid, we had clippers and I used to get home haircuts all the time.
So maybe not the most foreign thing for you. I didn't try. My loving wife did it for me, but I usually just, like, there's some version of like getting my head buzzed. This is kind of you know, some tactical, you know, thaw, but it's generally just kind of buzzing. So she did it, but we only had one guard, so it was really, really, really short. But you know, the goal was accomplished. We did try in those early days to give our dog a haircut, and that was difficult to say the least.
How did Bear like that?
He was actually really cool as far as like handling it. It just was, it's a lot of hair. Like, you don't realize how much hair is on a dog, and it's not the easiest thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say cutting hair is easy, but like, it's not easy to just like go in a line and then the next line and the next line. Like, it was patchy. It was awful. He looked rough. No pun intended for a little while.
Nice. I like what you did there. Before we get rolling here, we're going to react to Kyler Murray, who just got the bag from the Cardinals. Maybe talk a little Lamar Jackson, our favorite subject here on the look ahead. Before we get into all of that, I just want to remind you that we are brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. Even if you're not making a football bet, that's okay. Still use the code SBNNFL. You'll still get the special offer only at DraftKings. RJ, we always love reviews. 5 stars. Bring it on. If you leave it, we will read it. We had a review last week from Sean who wanted to not steal. He wanted to get the handheld chicken pot pie recipe that I brought up on the show because you always ask me what I'm eating. And he messaged me on Twitter. You can find me at Stats on Fire. He asked for the recipe, which I graciously provided. Now I'm trying to get an update. Like, has he made the recipe yet? But so far I've been ghosted.
Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's been out curating, getting the necessary ingredients. You know what I mean? I'm worried. I think you're all wrong for doing this in July. Especially literally the hottest July of all time. You do you. I did have butternut squash the other day as a side dish in a dinner we had. That's more of a fall thing to me. I'm happy for you. What are you eating for? Give me one thing you're going to eat for dinner this weekend.
I have literally no idea. We do our shopping tomorrow on Saturdays, and so we do all our game planning in the supermarket.
Why don't you do a good wood-grilled salmon?
Daughter's allergic to salmon. Can't do it.
She doesn't eat. Yeah, just simple.
Tough world for a two-year-old. What can we say?
Yeah.
All right, okay, Stats.
Wait. I just want to say, before the episode ends, so you have a lot of things. And maybe somebody wants to literally bet on this. Use code SBNNFL, as you mentioned. We have a series between my Houston Astros and your red-hot Seattle Mariners beginning tonight. So we can have a fun little wager on that. And then another series that starts the eve of next week's look ahead. So we can save that series for then. This series is in the Pacific Northwest. Next week's is in H-Town. But we'll have a little fun little skin in the game. You know what I mean? Regarding Houston, Seattle tonight.
Sorry. 14 straight games by the Mariners, one away from tying the franchise record they set in 2001 when they won 116 games. Out of my mind. I have not had to care about a baseball season this late into the summer in years. I don't know what to do. What do I do with my hand?
They were making the playoffs. I told you a few weeks ago, over the Jets, who, by the way, actually, that's the first point of action. Although, tease and peace, because I know the Mariners winning streak ends tonight. But on the subject of the Jets, what do you think of the black helmets? Those came out right before we started recording and streaming this.
So here's the deal. And I just saw this tweet from, I want to say, Sam Monson. I was literally like, just before we hit record, Sam Monson of PFF said, hot take, very few football uniforms actually pull off an all black look well. I totally agree. Even just black jerseys in general, the Jets' black jerseys are hideous. They're an abomination. But I have to say, this new black helmet is pretty good. I like it. I think the helmet itself is good. The rest of it, everything below the helmet can just go in the trash. But the helmet looks pretty good to me.
I think it would look great with the white jersey. You know what I'm saying? Like the black helmet with the white jersey, maybe even the green pants, or maybe you want to go the black pants that you wear with the black jersey. But like when you go all one thing, it's when it becomes overwhelming. I do agree that there's so many jobs or whatever of different uniforms and a lot of people make like a black version of whatever team they support. Not everybody looks good in it, and again you don't have to. Like, I objectively think the Eagles are the worst team in the NFL, but their black jerseys are sick, and what's awesome about them is at least I know they're going to have a black helmet, but they haven't worn them historically with a black helmet. It keep the forest green helmet. It keeps the nice look. And the Panthers have had a black jersey. You didn't have to have a black helmet. You don't have to do all this, all the way. It's just relax. Get a different helmet. Get a blue helmet. It feels like you're just trying to be cool. Like, you're like, all the kids have these sneakers. We got to go buy these sneakers so we can be cool like the kids.
Just because you can have a black helmet or jersey doesn't mean you should have a black. The 49ers black jerseys from a few years ago, an abomination. Horrible, terrible, awful, awful, awful. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Too many teams do. I think they should eliminate. Like the Ravens, the Steelers, the Raiders, maybe the Bengals if you want to throw that in, maybe the Falcons. That's it. Everybody else,
Panthers.
No black jersey. No, Panthers are terrible. They can't even do anything right. No, the Panthers have had great colors and hideous jerseys since the day they were born.
The Jaguars have some black jerseys too. Like, you know, I mean, you know, it's not the same, but I agree with you. Like, you don't have to do this. You don't just have to have a black version of your uniform. It feels like trying to, and that's what the Jets, the jersey felt like that when they brought the jersey out in this new way. And the Commanders' black uniform is awful. Yep. I know we haven't seen it in a game, but yeah. And even the Steelers, and I know Russ talked Kyler, but the Cardinals' black uniforms I like because they wear with the white pants and the white helmet. It feels like a nice splash. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to go overwhelming with it. But the Steelers, when they put together their color rush, even that wasn't perfect. Like, even if you already excel at black uniforms, it isn't easy to create new black uniforms that are awesome. So just be careful, NFL teams. This is a slippery slope.
I do like Steelers all black, but no. The Cardinals all black is terrible. A lot of questionable decisions by the Cardinals. RJ, see that? Did they make one more this week? We got news. Kyler Murray agreed to a $230.5 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. $160 million, I believe, is guaranteed. Now, that's not fully guaranteed. We don't know. That includes injury guarantees. So we'll have to see how it actually shakes out as I actually fix the damn topic bar. I don't know about this one. As a Niner fan, I always judge moves, especially in my division. Like, how are other teams reacting to the move? As a Niner fan, I'm thrilled with this move. You're telling me Kyler Murray is going to be your quarterback for the next 5 years? Great. Sign me up.
So on one hand, I'm a big believer in, like, this. We were talking about something before we started recording, and you said it's a pass-fail proposition. This is a pass-fail thing. You're either a franchise quarterback or you're not. And if you have identified somebody as being a franchise quarterback, you pay them as soon as possible. That's the rule. That's the path of least resistance here. Mm-hmm. It's a path that my team didn't take in the Dallas Cowboys, which costed them, literally. And so in that vein, the Arizona Cardinals have identified that Kyler Murray is a franchise quarterback and are paying him as soon as possible, right? Following his third season in the NFL. They have to pay just insane amount of money, because that's the going rate. Like, you, and that's the thing. The lesson that the Cowboys did not learn. You have to pay the going rate. It is impossible. It is impossible at this position to pay below market rate. You have to reset the market every single time. So understanding that those are the things, because those things did happen here, right? Kyler got the bag. Kyler is now the highest paid. Kyler this. Kyler that. I mean, they must believe in him. And I think it's questionable to believe in him, but I think if you don't believe in him, then you're done. I think if you don't do it this offseason, you're done. And you're committing to moving on from Kyler. And so I think that there's certainly enough there. I don't believe in him in the here and now. I certainly don't. He's obviously flashed a lot of potential and things like that. I would not want him to be my franchise quarterback. And some of that is just kind of the way that this is gone. Like, it doesn't feel like it's the most harmonious situation between coach and player and organization. And so that's a bit troublesome, but he is now, you know, you look at the contracts that Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury got, they don't mean anything. Like, it's Kyler's contract. Like, these are the Arizona Kylers. They are insignificant. Kyler's got the bag. They all have little tiny clutches. You know, Kyler has the big Louis Vuitton purse, and they have tiny little clutches that go under the elbow or, you know, the armpit. You know what I'm talking about? And so they must believe it's a pass-fail proposition. And so I'll just ask you, yes or no, is Kyler Murray a franchise quarterback?
No.
He is. Oh, dude,
no.
I disagree. I mean, I have
problems with him. Did you watch that Rams playoff game last year? He looked like that was the last place in the world he wanted to be. I feel like things started to snowball, and he was just checked out. Like, oh, well, better luck next year, fellas.
I saw did you watch that game, the regular broadcast? Or I don't know if you recall, that game had the Manning cast on it.
I always watch the regular broadcast.
Right. Okay. Well, so whatever, first of all. But second of all, I watched the regular broadcast of that because it was a playoff game. You know, I love the Manning cast, but, like, you know, don't be messing with my playoff kind of formula. Mm-hmm. I was also in a moment of, like, a bout of devastation because your 49ers had beaten the Cowboys, the day before, which sucked. But I hadn't seen the Manning cast in that. And I remember seeing tweets about it, but I saw this clip after Kyler got the contract. They had Russell Wilson on during the Manning cast that game. And when they were down in the fourth quarter, Russell, big shock, was saying, you know, right now, you know, you just got to believe. Like, you just got to believe that there's a way. And, like, some of that is, like, you know, Russell Wilson's, like, cheesiness. But some of that's true, I think. Like, I actually kind of buy that. Like, you have to believe that there is a way that you can pull yourself out of it. We just need one stop. We need whatever. And I'll send you the clip. He literally tells the Mannings. He says, if I'm Kyler right now, I'm up and down the sideline. I'm telling every guy, hey, one third down stop, one whatever, and we're back in this. We can get back in this. And then the camera cuts to Kyler, and he's just, like, dejected, like, on the bench and, like, you know, like, completely and totally, like, by himself in solitude. And so in that vein, I agree with you. I mean, like, there are some troublesome qualities, but that's not to say, like, he will be that guy forever. But, yeah, I mean, it's unsettling. I think this is the decision that had to be made, but I don't think there was a way to feel great about it because of Kyler's past.
Well, here's the thing, though. You can't give somebody this kind of contract and bet on them to change. If you give them this money, you have to be comfortable with who they are right now. You can't say, well, once we give him this money, then he'll do all these other things we want him to do, right? Like, it's like a couple who's like, yeah, I know we've got issues, but what we need to do, we'll get pregnant. And then once we have a kid, that'll make us more responsible. That'll fix everything. No. That is not how it works. So if you're going to give Kyler this money, the Cardinals have to be comfortable with everything that he is, and they have to be comfortable with him being who he is throughout the life of this contract. Me personally, I would not be totally thrilled with that. Not from a physical standpoint. I think Kyler Murray's incredibly talented, incredible passer, but that's not the only aspect to playing quarterback in the NFL. There is also that mental side that Russell Wilson was talking about. And I agree, some of it's cheesy, but here's the thing. Just simply believing is not enough to make you come back in a game. But if you don't believe that you can do it, you have no shot whatsoever. And seeing Kyler on the sideline, like, people take your cue from you. And I agree, like, that's a telling thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, Russell Wilson is super corporate and super cheesy, but, like, I would take that 100 out of 100 times. You know, he's a franchise quarterback. He is a leader. Like, he's the dude that, like, changes the culture, changes the locker room, and that's what you want. I mean, you deal with the, like, funniness of it all, you know. But, I mean, again, like, Russell Wilson will be in the Hall of Fame someday because he believed in himself that way. Like, people call it, like, manifesting, like, willing itself into existence. Like, I've long said, like, you know, if you can get 53 players to believe the sky is orange, then the sky is orange. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, like, what you get them to believe in, and he's very good at that. And so it's hard to say, like, well, the Cardinals shouldn't have done it. Like, because I think if you don't, you're playing with fire. Like, you're playing with insane fire. If you don't do it, what if he does ball out? And that was always, like, our argument at Blogging the Boys and as Cowboys fans, you know, against the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Because if you don't, and that was a little bit different because they placed a franchise tag on him, which has far more consequences than just not paying Kyler, because the Cardinals still had at least 3, maybe 4 years of team control over him, right? You're talking about the final 2 years of his rookie contract, 1 year of franchise tag, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And so, again, not exactly apples to apples, but our argument was always, you're making a bet where you lose both sides, Cowboys, right? Like, if Dak Prescott balls out, great, your team has success, but, like, you've lost. Like, he's blown away the market, and now everything you are offering him is even more ridiculous, and it's more insulting. And if he plays poorly, yeah, you can get him on the cheap, but he played poorly. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have – so, like, if you don't believe in him enough to believe he's worth that money, then you have to move on. And so I think that's the more convenient thing for the Cardinals to believe in, obviously. But I think it makes sense. Like, we have seen that greatness before from Kyler. Like, it isn't difficult to talk yourself into him becoming one of the very, very, very best players in the NFL. I understand there are not character concerns, but leadership concerns. There's the bad blood and things like that. But, you know, maybe they had a good time, a kumbaya, singing songs around the campfire over the last couple of months, and that kind of mended these fences. But I do also believe, while I don't believe in the nucleus itself, I support an organization having consistency. And I support the Cardinals saying, you know what? We're making our bed. You know what I mean? Like, we believe in Cliff Kingsbury. We believe in Kyler Murray. We believe in Steve Keim. This is our trio. This is our tripod. We're building everything along this foundation. And so I do support that. I support saying, you know, let's be firm in this. If we're going to be here, let's be all the way. And if it doesn't work out, you know, hey, we made a calculated decision that didn't work out, but at least we can rest easy and sleep with peace knowing that, you know, we played the hand that we were dealt.
I want to
play the cards we were dealt.
I want to get to that side of it in a minute, because you're right. They have their little triumvirate there. They've hitched their wagon to Kyler, Cliff, and Keim. But just how does this factor in? Like, if you look at the Cardinals as an organization, they're one of the oldest organizations in the National Football League, but they don't really have a great storied history. They've been around for 103 seasons, RJ, but they don't have the history of the Cowboys or the Niners or the Steelers. And maybe it's just because they haven't won, but even the Chargers, they don't have a Super Bowl title, but they have history. They have Dan Fouts, Philip Rivers, and things like that. With the Cardinals, it's just kind of nothing. Like Kyler Murray, I said this in the Daily Kickoff this morning. Kyler is the first quarterback drafted by the Cardinals to sign a contract extension since who? Do you know?
Let me think here. Matt Leinart did not get a second contract with the Cardinals. So, and like, he's probably the I know, but he's probably the most like high profile like player drafted by the Cardinals, and that was 2006. So high profile player drafted by the team, let alone most high profile quarterback drafted by the team. Did Jake Plummer get a second contract with the team? Let's go! Oh my gosh! Wow! Right on.
You listened to the Daily. I know it.
I didn't listen to the Daily. Come on, give me some props. That was sick.
Like, they don't have that guy in their history. And maybe, do you think there's a desire from ownership to be like, we could make Kyler's ours, right? We drafted him. We got rid of Josh Rosen. We drafted him. We started this whole new era. To just let him go, then, like, you lose all of that. Do you think that factored in?
By the way, I don't think that enough was made of the irony of Josh Rosen getting his latest job on the day that Kyler got the extension. It's unfortunate for Josh Rosen, but I think his career got off on a left-footed start. I mean, you know, there's another timeline where Josh Rosen's drafted by the Dolphins or something and is like one
and
of the top.
Sucks.
You know, anyway,
there's no universe where Josh Rosen's good.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
I've actually, one of the many reasons I love you is I've never known anybody in my career, just like NFL fandom, who has agreed with me that the Cardinals suck at this, like suck at like having history, suck at having their own things. And you are the only other person I know who has identified this. And we've bagged on them before. Like, their Ring of Honor might be the most embarrassing one in the NFL. I don't know if it's even called the ring or whatever it's called, but like it's full of like cast offs from other teams. Like the greatest players in, outside of Larry Fitzgerald, right? Larry Fitzgerald is a Cardinal through and through, tried and true, whatever. Yep. But outside of Larry, the like greatest, biggest names that they have had play for their franchise in the last however many years, call it since the Matt Leinart draft, like the dawn of the 21st century, have all spent time elsewhere and like achieved greatness and legacies there, and then like hung out with the Cardinals for a cup of coffee. Kurt Warner is obviously the biggest example, but Carson Palmer is another. They already put Carson in the Ring of Honor. Like that's I will never get over how like lame and embarrassing that is. I would posit Edgerrin James gets forgotten that he left for the Cardinals and missed out on the Colts Super Bowl run. J.J. Watt now, right? Like, it's just like, who was a great player that's available? You know what I mean? Like, they are the true, like, who's the biggest name out there? You know, but I will never forget also, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but when J.J. Watt was a free agent and we were all like, is he going to go to Pittsburgh and play with his brothers? Is he going to Cleveland to play with, you know, with Myles Garrett, blah, blah. And then he posted the photo of himself, like, lifting, and it was the Cardinals. And we were like, the Cardinals? Like, it was so random that he would choose that team, and that's who they are. They're just a retirement home, right? Like they're for older people, older players. Come play golf in the great Scottsdale weather and all the courses out here. Enjoy life. Yeah, it gets hot, but it's always nice and chill, you know, in the evenings. We got the Suns now. It's a lot of fun. Like it's a weird kind of vibe there.
Here's what you need to know about the Cardinals Ring of Honor. There are 18 players in the Cardinals Ring of Honor, right? Oh, man. This is on the Cardinals website.
It's going to be worse than I thought, I bet. Wow.
Carson Palmer becomes the fifth person inducted who played his entire Cardinals career. Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. I misread it. It says Cardinals career in Arizona. I thought that they were saying that they played their whole career in Arizona, and I was like,
that's Kurt so Warner. Stupid too, like highlighting like these are better because they're Arizona Cardinals. They're not, you know, St. Louis Cardinals or Chicago Cardinals, you know, like it's a weird vibe. So to that point, like back to the subject, I agree with you. I do think there is this, like, think about the, like, I don't know, how long has Michael Bidwill owned the team? Specifically, I know you have all that information in front of you now. I'll buy you some time. But he's,
well, it's been in the family for a while because Charles is right in the Ring of Honor.
Right, but I'm talking about like his tenure. You know what I'm saying? Like his tenure of ownership. It has to be the most high profile, most successful court. Like, is it not true? Like the players we're talking about, Kyler is the most successful Cardinals draft pick. So like to this point in his career, in the Michael Bidwill era, like you could argue maybe Tyrann Mathieu. Although I think he's achieved his like ceilings with other teams. But I mean, he is the most successful player that has been drafted in the Michael Bidwill era.
So yeah, Michael Bidwill took over in 2019. So he hasn't
So it's not that long, but
his family has owned the team for quite some time.
But name a more successful, maybe Larry Fitzgerald's the most successful Cardinal of all time, right? But that's it. I mean, like, even, you know, it's not just like players. Like, have they ever had a coach that, you know, you like you thought was like, whoa, like, you know, look, can we even name the last five Cardinals head coaches? I mean, so we've got Cliff Kingsbury, we've got Steve Wilkes, obviously the 1 year. We've got Bruce Arians.
B.A. Oh, yeah.
And Bruce took over in 2013. So 2012.
It's not Denny Green. Oh, no. Wisenhunt.
Well, yeah, because he had the run after the Super Bowl, Ken Wisenhunt. And he took over. That was 2008. Danny Green might be the fifth most recent Cardinals head coach.
He is.
Wow, look at us.
They are who we thought they were.
Like, that's one of the most famous things the Cardinals coach has ever said.
That's one of the most famous things associated with the Cardinals. You know, like, they have one of the most, like, one of their highest profile moments ever is that, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr. played for them and Jerry Maguire, you know what I mean, against the Cowboys. Like, that's, like, you know, they're just there. Like, I mean, I maybe Pat Tillman is the most famous player. It has to be.
So I don't think that that's good. That's not really good decision making, though. From a football standpoint.
I don't think it's just because it's a factor doesn't mean it's like a mistake. You know what I mean? Like it's. I think it's a plus. You know what I mean? It's the icing or cherry on top sort of thing. he has the potential to be one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL. We know that.
And if you look at his like numbers, his completion percentage has increased every year he's been in the league. His rushing totals have fluctuated a little bit because he's been banged up, but his record has increased, like 5 wins the first year, 8 wins the second year, 9 wins. Now, I know they faded in the second half of the season, but just like if you told somebody when they drafted Kyler Murray that this is what he would do, they'd be like, yes, 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 right? Like they would sign up for all of that. And yet here he is getting the second contract. And to me, I don't know. Like, again, as a 49er fan, I am not upset about this at all. And I think that's telling.
I can't believe we forgot like other like legendary players who they've taken away like after they've achieved, like DeAndre Hopkins. Like that's another example. Like who else can we just like poach? You know what I mean? I wanted to see this. So I'm looking at Pro Football Reference's ranking of Cardinals players like historically by approximate value, which is their metric to kind of gauge how great players are. These are the top 10, just very quickly. I'll go in ascending order. So number 10, Ernie McMillan. Number 9, Jackie Smith, who Dallas Cowboys fans do not speak of. Anyway, number 8, oh, Emmitt Smith, by the way, was another player who they took. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all the Cardinals do is take. Anyway, number 8, Lewis Sharp. Number 7, Dan Dierdorf. Number 6, Aeneas Williams. I think Aeneas is maybe like one of the more visible members of the Cardinals, certainly of the last 30, you know, 40 years maybe. Patrick Peterson, we kind of left out. Number 4, Pro Football Hall of Famer Roger Worley. Number 3, Larry Wilson. 2, Jim Hart. 1, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, again, not to knock any of these players, but they're, you know, these aren't like household names from the last 50 years, which is why they do feel somewhat insignificant.
Arizona Cardinals. They're trying. Like, I agree with you. Like, this is the plan, right? Kyler, Cliff, Keim. They are building or trying to build the golden era of Cardinals football, much the same way the Seahawks did with Pete Carroll, John Schneider, and Russell Wilson, right? That era of Seattle Seahawks football is the greatest era in team history. That's what the Cardinals are going for. I don't know, though. Like, do you feel comfortable with Cliff Kingsbury signing up for 5 more years of Cliff?
I mean, they made that decision very quickly, right? January or whatever it was, February even. And so, I mean, let me be clear. If I have to pick one of these, right, like if I'm building a team from scratch and I could have Kyler be my quarterback or Cliff be my head coach and then figure everything out beyond that, I would 100 out of 100 times take Kyler. You know what I mean? Like, I believe in Kyler the most of that trio. And a lot of it is he has the most influence too. Like, you know what I mean? He's the player, but I don't believe in Cliff whatsoever. Like Cliff is just along for the ride. I don't think Steve Keim I don't want to say like he should have to pay for things, but I don't think he's been held responsible for the mistakes the Cardinals have made. I mean, he got such a free pass through the Steve Wilkes, Josh Rosen era, and he gets treated like all of his decisions are gold.
It's great that they pivoted and moved off of Josh Rosen. Like they recognize that he ain't it, but they had to pivot. Like, it's really bad when you take a quarterback 10th overall and then you have to take a quarterback first overall the next year. Like, there's an opportunity cost there.
It's like we've said about the Dolphins last year, right? Like, they got all this credit. Like, oh, look how many games they won in the second half. It's like, yeah, well, they, like, buried themselves. Like, you know, like, that's cool. Respect. Right. But, like, the first half still happened. Like, you can give them all the props and the kudoses and the attaboys from, you know, what they did in response to it. But, like, you have to also, like, take into consideration what happened on the way to, like, digging that hole. And, you know, I'm not to say that, like, Brian Flores should have been fired or things like that. But, like, you know, that was a factor, I think, in evaluating the Dolphins and in evaluating, like, oh, maybe this isn't like an amazing team right now, but that's what happened there. Like, just because you took, you know, 3 steps forward out of, you know, being backwards, like, you still, like, you know, swam backwards on purpose, you know. It's and they traded up to draft Josh Rosen, you know what I mean? It's just wild. But look, again, what
I was just gonna say, looking at Steve Keim's first round picks starting in 2013, Jonathan Cooper, Deion Buchanan, DJ Humphreys, Robert Kimdiche, Hassan Reddick, Josh Rosen, obviously we know, Kyler worked out, Isaiah Simmons, what the heck is his role? Collins.
That was his thing, was like, where does he play? He's a hybrid. Like that never worked. But Zavian Collins, and there was the big, remember Zavian had the really like buzzy line after being drafted? Do you remember like the draft phone call? Like, it's, you know, like, again, the greatest thing that the greatest thing he's done is help be a part of trading for DeAndre Hopkins. So he capitalized on Bill O'Brien's incompetence and signed J.J. Watt when the Texans had to release him as a result of Bill O'Brien's incompetence. So, like, Steve Keim's, like, greatest like achievement right now is that he benefited from Bill O'Brien.
And he was also suspended for 5 weeks because he got an extreme DUI after reportedly blowing a .19 on the breathalyzer. Like, as a general manager, that's, and this guy got an extension. He's supposed to set the example for your organization. Like, there are a lot of the three of them, I question Keim the most, then Kliff, then Kyler the least.
Well, and even just sticking to football, Keim has the most negatives on his resume, right? Like, Kliff, and some of that is like Kliff hasn't been around enough. And again, like, I attribute the like collapsing last season more to Kliff than anybody else, right? Like, you're the head coach, you can't allow your team to just completely fall apart, whatever.
For the second straight year.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. But to somewhat segue, I mean, again, while I don't think there's a situation other than when Patrick Mahomes got his deal. Like, when that happened, everybody's like, genius decision. Whoa. You know what I mean? Like, well, obviously, like, there's not a quarterback being maybe Josh Allen a year ago, but there's not a quarterback generally whoever, even Aaron Rodgers comes with baggage, right? Like, he gets his deal this offseason and there's like, well, you know what I mean? So it's very, very rare that like the consensus agrees that this is like a brilliant idea, like absent of flaws. And so that's a natural just kind of element to paying a quarterback. Like, is he good? He's actually good enough. Is he worth this? Blah, blah, blah. And so, but in the spirit of that, they did do this the right way. I know that it took them a long time and this was kind of a dramatic thing and silly in the agent's like statement back at the beginning of the offseason, but they ultimately still got the job done. They paid him after his third season. They paid him market rate. It looks like a lot of money now, but I can tell you again, Dak Prescott's deal looks like a lot of money then, and that was a year and change ago, and he's not even in the top five highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. And we live in a world where next offseason, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and of course Tua Tagovailoa are all going to be eligible for new deals, and they're going to blow this away too. And so the Cardinals understood that basic principle that basically everybody in the NFL understands, except for the Baltimore Ravens. They have not handled their business with Lamar Jackson, and the price only continues to go up. The Deshaun Watson factor and the guaranteed portion of things, that clearly didn't, you know, reset the quarterback landscape contractually the way people thought it would, at least as it relates to Kyler, but that's a relevant factor. And you know, we kept saying this again from a Cowboys perspective all throughout the Dak Prescott negotiations, and we watched Jared Goff get paid, Carson Wentz get paid, Russell Wilson get a new deal from the Seahawks, and every time it was the price is only going up. And you can argue, you can whine, and you can complain, you can say, and I don't think anybody's doing this with Lamar relative to Kyler, but, well, you know, like, Dak's not as good as those guys, so he shouldn't get that money. It doesn't matter. Like, this is the market. This is supply and demand, and so Lamar's price, whatever it was, it went up on Thursday. It did. That's just natural, you know, inflation. I mean, and the Ravens are touted, rightly so, for being this forward-thinking franchise on and on and on every single year, and they are butchering this in the exact same way that the Cowboys did.
Doesn't matter if you quote-unquote deserve it. We saw that with Kirk Cousins when he got a fully guaranteed contract from the Minnesota Vikings. All that matters is there is some other team out there that is going to be willing to pay that price, and as long as the agent knows that, they're not going to accept a deal that doesn't reset the market, because they'll just tell their client to wait and then they'll get that bag in free agency. So, like, you have to just pay what it costs. I know that sounds like simple, but it's the truth. And you're right, Lamar's
deal. It is simple. It's simple. Like, okay, who was the last quarterback paid? We'll give you a little bit more. That's it. Like, that's literally what it is. Like, and then, you know, you hear like the national insiders, oh, these two sides, they worked on this deal for months and they hammered right out every, you know, like, it's like, okay, cool. I mean, again, like, I'm not an NFL agent. Again, I'm not trying to, you know, say that profession isn't full of, like, you know, trials and tribulations and difficulties and hurdles and things like that, but it is a relatively simple concept, right? Okay, well, what did Kyler get paid? He got that bag. I want a bag that's a little bit bigger. That's it. Like, let's just amplify it by a few percentages.
Yeah, it's really not difficult. And it works the same way. It's the same thing with Deebo Samuel. There's a lot of pearl clutching about Deebo Samuel's contract. It's like, well, look at all the receivers that just got paid. It's not hard to come up with what the number should be. It's crazy. But do you think, because Lamar has said he wanted a deal by the start of training camp, do you think that he's going to get a deal before the start of the season? Or do you think that this is just going to continue to be sort of the weird situation that it is in Baltimore?
I mean, if he's showing up, I mean, and I credit Lamar for being, you know, trusting enough, I guess, of the Ravens to show up. But I always thought it was so interesting, and I know I keep hearkening back to Dak and the Cowboys, but I lived that example, you know, very vividly, obviously. At the Super Bowl in Miami that your 49ers lost, Stats, I'm sorry. Dak did the Radio Row car wash, and at the time was coming off of the final year of his rookie contract. And so what was in, you know, the process, and obviously had been eligible for a new deal the season prior, but this was, you know, his deal was expiring, very different circumstances. And he said, these were the very early days of 2020, that he didn't know if he was going to show up to OTAs and things like that and whatever. And so obviously those things didn't happen, you know, the way they would have because of the pandemic's beginning. But I was interested to see what would have happened. Would he have not shown? And I think that would have really, you know, strong arm the Cowboys. I think they would not have been able to have handled that if their franchise quarterback. I think some franchise quarterbacks are more important and more beloved to their teams than others. And I would put Dak in that category, and I would put Lamar in that category. And so if Lamar doesn't want to, you know, exercise that, you know, that weapon, if you want to call it that, that's up to him. But I think that if he wants to accelerate getting paid, I think that's the way to do it. If Lamar isn't showing up for training camp, I think the pressure is on the Ravens. They absolutely have to get the deal done. But if he's showing up, I don't think that they feel any pressure. And I think they just feel like, you know, why go about this? Why, you know, why blink? Why move if everything's working out fine? And if you're the Ravens, if they truly are unsure about him, which, you know, their actions somewhat suggest at this point, let him play it out. Let him play it out, and then use the franchise tag. Like, you have other weapons at your disposal if you're the Ravens, where you don't have to be as worried about this.
So he did report for training camp. The question is he going to hold in? Nobody holds out anymore because the language in the CBA makes it too expensive to hold out. What you do is you hold in, you show up, you work out on the side, but, oh, you know, I got a little tweak in my back or my hamstring. I can't really go out and practice in full. That's what they do. We'll see if Lamar does that. And then that does, like, it does put pressure on a team. Training camp is important. I know that some people like to poo-poo it. Like, when somebody stays away, a lot of times fans are like, oh, it's okay. Like, no. Training camp is important. There's installation of the offense. NFL rosters turn over a ton every year. They're putting the building blocks in place. They're explaining the system to people who may not know it. Rookies, free agent acquisitions, whatever. During the season, that's not what they do. During the season, it's all about preparing for that week's opponent. It's not school, so to speak. At that point, it's like, look, if you don't know it, we can't stop and do this for you. We're leaving you behind. Training camp matters. So you want your quarterback to be in there getting as many reps with people, especially the Ravens. God knows he needs reps with those damn wide receivers who they tend to leave him with. But we'll see what happens with Lamar. I hope he gets a new deal. I'm kind of tired of talking about it, to be honest with you, because we get labeled as Lamar haters by you. I am not a Lamar Jackson hater.
I'm spitting facts. Have you ever listened to you and BLG talk about Lamar?
No,
you guys are awfully hypocritical.
BLG brings up his playoff performance. All I've said is that it is worse than his regular season performance, which is a fact. But that's
true
mean
for
a billion
people.
Yes. Again, I'm not arguing.
What is Justin Herbert's playoff record? If that's the make or break evaluation point here. What's his playoff record?
Again, you keep taking BLG's stuff and attaching it to me just because we host a show together. It's very frustrating. I like Lamar Jackson.
I'm sorry that you don't like, you know, being held accountable for things, Stats. I'm sorry.
I love being held. You know that about me.
Okay,
so then
you think BLG is wrong. Let's say that. Pick a side. Pick a lane here.
I think that disregarding everything that Lamar does, all the greatness that we see in the regular season, simply because he has not performed up to that level in the playoffs, is wrong. 100%.
It does. Wow.
You can't just say he's not a great quarterback because he has struggled in, you know, however many, what does he play?
Let's
playoff games?
Go Stats.
That's always been my position.
Team Lamar. Stats hates Brandon. Yes.
You just stir the pot, man. That's all
I want.
You do.
I just want the whole world to know, all of our loyal, wonderful listeners who also have perfectly symmetrical faces, to tweet at Brandon at Brandon Godden. And let us know, tag us there too, at RJ Ochoa at Stats on Fire, that Stats is Team RJ and Team Lamar, and BLG is Team Wrong.
I feel like you have just...
You said it! Those are your exact words, word for word.
You've misrepresented my position in the beginning, and now you're acting like I'm changing sides when this has been my position all along.
Wow. So you've actually been hoodwinking, Brandon. Wow. The disloyalty. Wow. God.
All right, oh, that's going to do it for this edition of the
show. Stats, wait. We haven't made an Astros Mariners bet. What's going on here? Get your crap together, dude. I know you're all discombobulated because you feel so bad for, like, literally abandoning Brandon. Astros Mariners starts tonight, Friday night, 9:10 p.m. Central Time. Holy crap. Are you going to stay up for the whole game over there on the East Coast? There's no way you make it.
No, I'm not capable of it anymore. I'll try, and even if I want to, I will fail. Unless it's like a nail biter, like somebody's throwing a perfect game or something, that might be enough. But so what do we get? A 3-game series. It's whoever wins the series, right? Not tonight.
Right. Whoever wins the series. And then, like I said, there's a new series that starts. Actually, this kind of works out perfectly. So this weekend series is in Seattle, and next week, or on Thursday, they play a new series starting on Thursday in Houston. But this series, this first one, is a 3-game series. The next one is a 4-game series. So these are the rules. Okay. We're going to make a bet off of this 3-game series. And then when we record the look ahead next Friday, one Astros Mariners game will be in the rearview mirror. That one won't matter. And so we will have what will effectively be a new 3-game series that we'll bet on. Then that way it's an odd number and we can have an undisputed winner, so to speak. Are you okay with these rules?
I agree to the rules, but the payoff, there has to be a benefit for people listening to the show. I don't like stuff that's like they need to get something out of it. Otherwise, why should they care about this bet? There are so many shows that make bets where there's no payoff for the listener whatsoever. So I don't know what you want the thing to be, but we got to either eat something or get a tattoo, shave a head, something.
I'm literally getting my hair cut today. So, I mean, that's, yeah, impractical. Okay, so what are my football takes generally that you most disagree with?
Well, the biggest one that comes to mind right now is that the Eagles lost the AJ Brown trade.
Okay, so give me one more. So that's one.
See, the other one that jumps to my head is not like you laughed off my drafting of Trey Lance as a potential.
Okay, it can't be Niners related. It can't be Niners related. So give me another one. I know you can do this. So one for me that I'll use for you is I don't believe in Trey Lance. I don't believe in what's happening. That's not to say like I don't believe in him long term, but I don't believe in him. Like I don't believe you can immediately trust him and feel like everything's going well. But so that's one of mine. So give me one more for you, and I'll give you one more for me.
You're Justin Herbert. Oh, he's never been to the playoffs. Justin Herbert's not that good.
Okay. My second one that I for you is like I think you can be too harsh on the Saints sometimes, right? Like, and, you know, whatever.
Oh,
so,
that's not true. You can never be too harsh.
Okay. So I'm gonna like phrase this out like as a hypothetical. If the Astros win the series next week on the look ahead, you have to come and defend my two things that you most disagree with. You have to come in here and support and defend factually and legitimately and earnestly that Justin Herbert cannot get it done and that the Eagles trading for AJ Brown was a mistake. And vice versa, if the Mariners win, I have to come and sit here and be like, you know what, Trey Lance, and like, fine, you know, again, it can't just be fluff. It has to come with legit context, and you have to almost like start to believe it yourself. It's like writing a thesis paper on something that you don't buy in on, but you have to write it and support it. Does that make sense?
That's good. I like that. I like that very much. It's payoff for the listener. It's torture for me if I lose. I would love to hear you defend Trey Lance. That would be just that'll go up on the Niners Nation feed and like with neon lights.
I will love you to sit here and be like, look, here's the thing. Justin Herbert actually ranked there, and like just start to like pick him apart. It will be really, really funny. And we have a lot of Eagles listeners too. So if for content's sake, Stats, I think that you should root for the Astros, because if you have to come and sit here and support that the AJ Brown trade was a mistake, that would be really, really, really funny. Okay, so the rules again. Astros Mariners series starting Friday night. It's in Seattle for anyone who wants to watch. I don't think they're on national television. So just if you can't watch it, keep up with it. We'll have some fun. And if the Astros win the series, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Stats has to come defend the two things that I have said that he hates the most, that the Eagles trading for AJ Brown was a mistake, or rather that they lost the trade. That was my specific take. And that Justin Herbert doesn't get it done in the way that you guys are critical of other players in similar circumstances. If the Mariners win this series, then I have to come in and defend the idea of Trey Lance coming in and becoming the NFL's next great superstar, and that the Saints are actually the worst team in the NFL, basically. It's kind of your general take. So, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Go Mariners. Please continue, rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. RJ, next week is going to be a lot of fun. And also, I hate you.
I love you and everything about you. And I'm excited for specifically Friday night's game because it's going to send one of us off the deep end. Like whoever loses this first game is going to be sweating it out throughout the entire week.
Panic mode weekend brought to you by RJ Ochoa. We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.